name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, for the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Fatima, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Very interesting to read the desert monks, and there are many accounts that are splendid lessons for us. So we'll count one or two to you to enter into the topics we're going to be addressing today. There was a desert monk that was given permission to have visions, and he was standing on the top of a cliff, and he was overlooking a city which there was a tavern. Spanish, the palabra is cantina, yeah? Where there's a lot of drinking, a lot of carousing, a lot of sinning, to put it bluntly. He saw on the top of that tavern one devil. One devil. Then he moved over, and he was looking at the... built into the mountain, there was a monastery of monks who are prayerful, penitential, holy. And he saw that there were thousands of devils climbing on the walls, trying to get in the doors, the windows, the crooks, the crannies, the roof. That's a story. And you might say, well, why in the place where there's so many temptations, so many sins, why were not that so many devils? Because they can go to hell without the devil. Okay? Teresa of Avila says a lot of people could actually go to hell with even without the devil's presence. Just the flesh and the world, that's enough. But also, probably you notice ever since you started your spiritual life and taking it seriously, you never had so many temptations in your life. Is that true?
Yes.
So that's the story for you people, is that you're taking your spiritual life seriously. Consequently, all hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. So if you feel yourself tempted more than ever, it's probably a good sign. Don't count that as a bad sign, but actually it's a good sign. Because the devil knows that if you really become holy, you'll live your life to the fullest, you're going to be instrumental in bringing many, many, many souls to God in heaven. Of course, God is the only one that saves, but he uses us as conduits or bridges by which souls can pass. God is more pleased with one soul that wants to become a saint than 10,000 of souls that are mediocre. What is the biggest malaise in the church today? Mediocrity. Mediocrity. That's the biggest problem in the church. I think it's pretty ironic. All of us follow at least a little bit the Olympic Games. We follow, probably some of us follow some type of sport, probably at least one. Look at the March Madness. Look at the Angels that are about to start their season within a week, as well as the Yankees, no? Now, any professional baseball player that doesn't perform, minor leagues, pal.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Minor leagues, you're demoted. My brother was a CEO of a very successful company in New Hampshire. Huh? Mm-hmm. And he had many people under him. Remember talking with him about a few years ago, he said that there was this young man, very capable, but he wasn't abiding by the rules. And my brother sat him down and said, hey, you're three strikes, you're out. You already got two. One more, you're out. He heard that he was using the cell phone, and my brother kicked him out of the company. Mm. Of course, he ran to HR, human resources, but they kicked him out anyway. How on earth are you going to have a successful company in this country if you don't perform at a high level? So that guy is probably cursing my brother until kingdom come. But the company is not going to succeed if you don't have a certain level of proficiency. But in the Catholic Church, we can have the most mediocre Catholics in the world, and they call themselves Catholics. And that's kind of sad, isn't it? We should be the cream of the crop. Know that expression? Should be the cream of the crop. La crema, Spanish, okay? We should be the cream of the crop. I'm studying a course in church history by Professor Cook. Great courses online. I recommend it. And it's a course of 2,000 years Catholicism, which just goes from Jesus, the Acts of the Apostles, through the time up to Constantine, and then to the Middle Ages, and then the Renaissance, and then eventually the And he points out that the church into the 4th century was a church of very holy people. Then once the Edict of Milan came about, in which Constantine allowed for Catholicism to be an approved religion, in the 4th century, Catholicism was persecuted and had martyrs. By the end of it, Catholicism was the biggest religion in the Roman Empire. Just a matter of 100 years. And Professor Cook is pointing out that the church is going from holiness to mediocrity within 100 years. The age of martyrdom, holiness. Then the door was open to everyone, and you had all these mediocre elements, and the church was actually being dragged down when the church became the official religion of the empires. Because up until then, to be a Catholic Christian, you're probably going to be martyred. And nobody's going to be martyred that's not fervent. You got me? Nobody's going to be martyred if you're not fervent. And in a parallel sense, that's why we have this group here. Because you people, in general, are surrounded by mediocrity. Right? You have to admit it. You have to recognize we're separated by mediocrity. Probably a lot of your relatives are Catholics, but probably mediocre Catholics at best, right?
Non-practicing.
Okay? Non-practicing is another name for mediocre Catholic. Okay? A little bit worse, okay?
Yeah.
Mediocre Catholics. And that's 75% of the Catholics. And even the Catholics that practice, as a whole, they're lacking fire. There's no fire. There's no fire. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace till that fire being kindled. Revelation chapter 3. You're neither hot nor cold. But you are lukewarm, and I will. Or can I use another word, vomit? Depending on the translation. You're neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, or vomit you out of my mouth. So that's one of the purposes of creating this program. Helping good people like yourselves to be going beyond the good. Try to pursue the great. Try to pursue excellence. As I said at the class last week, a little snip from Chariots of Fire. Huh? Headmaster said to these young men, we're going to be the greatest athletes in the Olympic Games of 1903. in France, he said, you're called, all of you are called to excellence. Discover wherein your excellence lies and pursue it with all your heart. I love it. You're all called to excellence. Pursue wherein your excellence lies and pursue it with all your heart. That's really the purpose of these exercises. And the thing is, when you're surrounded by mediocrity, you become desensitized. And you pursue the lowest, the common denominator is low. We tend, because of spiritual inertia, you know what inertia is, to be pulled down. Rather than, in these exercises, to skyrocket us up. Rather than to be pulled down by spiritual inertia. It happened to us. It's called in psychology being desensitized. Mm-hmm. Put a frog in the bathtub, you know that, right? Put the frog in the bathtub and you heat it up. The frog is not even aware that it's becoming hotter and hotter and hotter until the frog dies. Maximilian Kolbe says, we have a tendency to dilute the gospel. Which he said, we have to live the gospel without compromise. Live it to the fullest. We say, well, I live in the United States in the year 2017. We have to kind of blend with the culture. As they say, go with the flow. I don't think the saints said that. I think the saints would say, well, you have to be countercultural, not go with the flow. Counterculture. You know what that means? Swim against the current. Swim against the current. Not go with the flow. So today, we have what we call the Ignatian Classics. And all of these Ignatian Classics are designed to help you to have spiritual tools to fight against the malaise of spiritual mediocrity that has permeated, penetrated, imbued, if you like the word, the whole of the social structure in which we are living today. Permeating these, the whole structure in which we're living. We have to be different. And this means, my friends, at times we will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. You're living your Catholic faith. In the workplace, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to make fun of you, and that's a good sign. But you're suffering for Christ. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Okay, the first of your meditations this week is called the Two Standards. Now, those who have done the exercise before, you're keenly aware what the two standards are, of course. Now, in the month retreat, now this is what I'm giving to you is called Annotation 19. This is an adaptation of the original pristine exercises. Was 30 days, where Ignatia would just take one person. And he would see the person once a day for 30 days. Along the Tiber River, that's where he actually did it. Okay? A Trastevere, if you've ever been to Rome. He would be there going to certain apartments of people that were well-disposed, and he would be giving them the spiritual exercises individually. Now, in the text, you have annotation 19 and 18. 19 would be the exercises in daily life. For mature people, 18 would be exercise in daily life. For more immature people, basically giving them catechesis. You'll get your 18-year-old son that doesn't know too much, get him to read maybe the Baltimore Catechism for 15 minutes a day. That's the type of exercises. So these exercises, within a month or two, I'm going to be giving the exercises to the teenagers. Mary and I are going to be organized. Then I'll give the exercises to the children. And I wrote out an exercise program from 3 to 5 already. I've already done it. Okay? I have, basically using pictures. So I've written 4 different programs of the exercises.
All right.
Okay, this is for the adults. And I could write more, I'm very creative. I could write more, just give me a sabbatical of 2 days, I would be able to do it. And I'll get my formatters and helpers. What I do is I paint and do the building, and my friends will put the roof and the painting and the varnish on top of it, okay? You know, last year we had it for the young people, and we had, what, 200 to 300 people, Mary?
Wow.
That persevered for 5 weeks. So these exercises are designed to help us to really go beyond the normal, go beyond the status quo, okay? Go beyond what most people are living today. In other words, you're called to become saints and great saints. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, 2 standards. What do you have in this? We got Satan. We got Christ. Satan and Christ. Obviously, the exercises were first composed not in English. Rather, Ignatius would have done it in Spanish. And the word that he would have utilized would be, in Spanish, las dos banderas. ¿Habla español? Las dos banderas. The 2 flags. Now, armies in the Middle Ages would have a flag bearer who would go before the army. Did you know that? Well, now you know it, okay? And the flag bearer, there are 2 flag bearers in this contemplation. One would be that of Satan. The other one would be of Jesus Christ. Now, this is designed at our intellect. And the grace you're going to be begging for is you're going to be begging to be received under la bandera de Cristo, under the standard of Christ. Okay. Ignatius says you should be begging fervently to the angels, to the saints, and to the Blessed Virgin Mary to be received underneath this bandera. A very important point. You're begging the angels, you're begging the saints, you're begging the Blessed Mother that you'll be received underneath the standard of Christ. And Christ is in Jerusalem, which means the city of peace, even though that's not the way it is today. But it's Jerusalem means the city of peace. Jesus is standing. He's attractive. He's strong. He's dynamic. He's appealing. He's magnetic. He's got charisma. There he is. And he's surrounded by disciples. He's giving a discourse to send his disciples throughout the whole world to conquer the world to himself, somewhat like what you did last week, the call of the king. I see this almost as an extension of the call of the king. So there's one scene. Then the other scene, which is a marked contrast, would be Satan. Where was he? He's in Babylon, which means the city of confusion. He's not standing, but he's sitting down on a dunghill, surrounded by smoke. His appearance is despicable. He's hideous, ugly. Maybe you saw a monster movie when you were a kid and that scared you 100 times worse. And he's sending out his minions, good word, throughout the whole world so that they will be conquered. And he's utilizing 3 tools, which will basically bring the rest of the tools, utilizing first would be riches. Today we would say, in American English, materialism. Consumerism. Then vanity. Vanity, what's that? Self-love. No? Feel you're important. You say in New York, the big man on the block, the big banana, huh? The big cheese, huh? Numero uno, huh? Vanity. And we're all tempted to that. We want to be pat on the back. Well done, huh? We seek our own self-aggrandizement rather than God, huh? And then, after that, pride. So riches, vanity, pride, and all the other vices dragging us along into his camp. Think any people in that camp today? Hello? No, just look at the world. Almost everyone's in that camp today. You got the casino over there, right? You know, 40 minutes, we're from Hollywood, right? Look at how our kids are. How our kids are contaminated. And one of the most simple things that all of you understand is this. How many parents here? Okay, maybe some of your kids are teenagers or older. Some of your grandparents, right? Okay. What are your children thinking about, or grandchildren thinking about, 2 weeks before Christmas? Hello? That casts me into desolation. It does. It casts me into desolation. Where was Jesus? Was Jesus born in Beverly Hills? In a palace? In a castle? He was the son of two millionaires?
No.
Billionaires. Fulton Sheen, in his usual poetic way of speaking, says the creator of the world had nowhere to be born in his own creation. I love it. The creator of the universe had nowhere to be born in his own creation. Fulton Sheen says he should be the patron of cavemen, huh? Was he born in a cave? Yeah. As well as patron of cowboys, no? Mm. Palm Sunday, right? So here we have the devil is going to be using money, materialism, consumerism. If I could use a technical philosophical word, utilitarianism. Have you heard that one? You know what utilitarianism means? You value in as much as you produce economically. John Stuart Mill, Jeremy Bentham, 19th century political philosophers. That's so American today. Did you know that about 90% of babies that are conceived that have an extra chromosome, they're murdered? Did you know that? Now you know it. We've got some nurses here. Some doctors here. Maybe I'm using too high medical terms. I'll say it in more simple English, no? Extra chromosomes mean a Down's baby, 90% are killed. 90% are killed. That's utilitarianism. How can that little child produce economically? Is he ever going to work on Wall Street? No way, Jose, no? Just eliminate him. Just eliminate, get rid of him. He's going to be dragging down the economic system. Kill him. Then euthanasia. Get rid of the abuelita. Because she's 85 years old, she's on dialysis. You know, give her a nice shot, no? Euthanize her. It's already legalized in California and another 4 or 5 states, huh? So try to see these exercises as very applicable to what's going on today. These are not relics of the Middle Ages. These exercises are applicable today. Ask the Holy Spirit to connect you in your prayers and meditation with what's going on today. It's like an octopus with those tentacles going throughout the whole world. See the devil as an octopus. You ever seen an octopus? Octopus with those tentacles, those arms going out to grab on and to grab on with those tentacles to suck in, to suffocate and to kill. Now Jesus is launching an invitation, but he's inviting people to come and follow him through poverty. Do you like that? No mucho padre, huh? See, all of you are cringing. You didn't want to hear that, did you, huh? Somebody's saying, but Father, fast forward, let's move on. This isn't that important. Hey, that makes you feel important, feel uncomfortable. You've got to sit with it, huh? Sit with your pain, as Father Greg Short would say. Sit with your pain. Struggle with it. Struggle with it. A lot of us have attachments. A lot of us have too much. Hello? Yes. A lot of us have too much. We have to learn how to give. As MT says, give until it hurts. Mother Teresa, right? Give until it hurts. More joy in giving than receiving. Okay, hey, vanity. Okay, then again, vanity. Hey, humiliations. Do you like that? Hello? No. You want to be humble? The royal road to humility is through humiliations, whether you like it or not. They're going to come. They're going to come. Not the way you expect it. Always there's going to be a curveball thrown at you with the humiliation. You're going to be taken aback. You got to be ready. And then Ignatius says, and humility. Humility, then all the other virtues. Those are the means by which the Lord tries to draw us to himself. Of course, these are very countercultural. Poverty, humiliations, and humility. Some of you are thinking, I've never heard that before. Some of you even thinking, I don't even like what Father Broom was saying, no? I wanted to move on and talk about things that are more pleasant, more titillating to my ears, huh? I prefer that, huh? You know, this is Ignatius. So what I'd like to do, in the limited time that I have, I'd like to give you different ways in which the devil tempts us, okay? This will be trying to flesh out the dynamic of the enemy. First is this, that the devil will tempt us until the moment we die. And just take that for granted. One of the most beautiful stories you can read is in November 11th. We celebrate the feast day of St. Martin of Tours, the second reading. When St. Martin is dying and he sees the devil, he calls you, you bloody brute, get out of here. There he is, he's dying, St. Martin of Tours. Go to your liturgy of the hours, the second reading. Always like that, no? He sees the devil, calls him, you bloody brute. Then he insults the devil. Teresa of Avila says, holy water in insulting the devil are the two ways that you can get rid of him. Insult him. Don't pet his horns or anything like that, pobrecito, no? No, kick him in the lower region. I won't say the word, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Insult him. That makes him even more angry and he disappears. Oh. Throw holy water on him.
Show him the cross?
Yes. So our battlefield is the world from within and from without and from within. Okay? Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us, but there's a battle, constant battle we have within us. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. Second is, as I said at the beginning of the class, is the fact that you are doing the spiritual exercises, you're going to be tempted more than the normal people.
Oh my goodness, that's all I need.
What?
That's all I need.
Okay, well.
Not really.
You heard it,
not
though.
Really.
Okay.
Not really.
At least you heard it.
Yeah.
No, but the fact that you know that is huge.
Half the battle.
Half the battle is knowing it. Half the battle is knowing it. Any soldiers and military stratagem, they have to know their enemy. They have to know the weak point of their enemy. Or in sports. Or in sports, you have to know the weak point of your enemy.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, next point that is probably the most important thing that would have to be said with respect to the way the devil works is this. When you are in desolation, that is when the devil attacks. Mm. That is a universal statement now. Not just you people here.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in desolation, that's when the devil attacks. And I explained to you in detail what desolation is a few weeks ago. Remember the rules? Nations gives you. It's actually rule 4. He gives a descriptive definition of what desolation is. Lack of faith, lack of hope, lack of charity, sadness. You feel inclined to lowly things. You want to give up. Depressed. Hopelessness. You're kind of like in a dark tunnel. Mm-hmm. Or you're in a cloud. Like some of the novels of Charles Dickens in London. Oh, you got this cloud, this mist that is covering Oliver Twist, right? You know? Mm-hmm. That image of the mist, the cloud, which is within us. That's called desolation. And as Father Tim Gallagher says, in many of his talks, we should not be ashamed to recognize that we're in desolation. That's part of the human predicament. We all have desolation. But the problem is this. The problem is this, is most people don't know what to do in their desolation.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the course is to teach people what to do in desolation. If you don't know what to do in desolation, you have to react intensely against it. Ajade contra. Okay? Ajade contra. You have to react intensely against it. About a year and a half ago, up there in Palo Alto, California, there was an epidemic of teenagers that were killing themselves.
Mm.
From among the most wealthy people in the country. Why? I mean, they had everything. Because they're in the state of desolation, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know who to open up to, so they thought the best thing to do was just end our lives. It wasn't one. Remember about a year and a half ago, an epidemic of, you know, these kids from the richest families in the country killing themselves. Why? You think that they have everything, why are they going to kill themselves? No? Because they did not know how to cope with desolation. So this is a key element of this course. You have to know what desolation is, what to do, and what not to do. But then he's going to say, just sitting passively, like a couch potato, when you got desolation, that's not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way to do it. You got to fight against it. Using the spiritual tools that you heard in the other rules. But in desolation, that's when the enemy is going to be working. Just take that for granted. You people, most of you probably have more consolation than desolation. But you're going to have desolation. If you don't know what to do, you're going to lose the battle. Here's the best example. First sorrowful mystery. What is that? Okay. There was a group of people in desolation. Peter, James, John. Another one, his name was Jesus Christ. Jesus was in desolation. And not simply desolation, but a profound desolation. What did the apostles do? What did Jesus do?
Pray.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The apostle fell asleep. As a result of that falling asleep, not doing the holy hour, falling asleep in the holy hour, they lost the battle. Peter showed he was a better fisherman than swordsman just cutting off the ear. Should have gone for the heart of Malchus, huh? And the others ran away. They probably ran the 100 and about 9.1, okay? They ran away, huh? Because they did not react to desolation the way they should have. They should have stood right by our Lord, praying with Him, suffering with Him, uniting themselves with Him. But they didn't. So in desolation, you have to know what to do. So go back and review the rules, okay? You have to know what to do. And you review the rules, what you have to do is what you probably don't want, what you don't want to do. But do it anyway. For the young people, just do it, okay? Just do it, okay? The t-shirt, just do it. You ever see that?
Yeah, right,
yeah. Right. Just do what the rules say, even though you don't feel like it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And even you do it, and you don't feel it in your heart, you just do
just
it.
Just do it anyway. Our Catholic faith does not depend upon feelings. The just man lives by faith, okay? Right. Faith doesn't mean you have feelings accompanying your faith. I mean, you might be going through the dark night of the soul that John the Cross says. You don't feel anything. But you got to be faithful. And as Mother Teresa says, we're not called to be successful, we're called to be faithful. Mm-hmm. That's Mother Teresa.
Right.
Not called to be successful, but faithful, yes. Okay, another means by which the devil has a heyday today is the devil attacks, especially when, I'll tell you an anecdote of the diary of St. Faustina, you'll understand it perfectly. Once in the diary, St. Faustina sees the devil running frantically back and forth up the corridor. The devil. So the Holy Spirit inspires her. Jesus wants her to talk to the devil. Says, stop the devil and ask the devil what is his major victory. So she says, under obedience, I want you to tell me, what is your major victory in religious life? You know what the devil is forced to say? Can I tell you?
Yes.
Laziness, la flojera. And the devil said he could not find one lazy nun in that convent. So he's running back and forth, couldn't find one lazy nun in that whole convent. How many of you live in a family? Is there anyone in your family that is maybe lazy at times?
Me.
Hello?
Yes.
Probably most of your family members are kind of lackadaisical, right?
Yes.
Can the devil get in?
Yes.
Of course. There may be more devils in your house than people, huh? Laziness. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. Ever hear that one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Idleness is the workshop of the devil.
Yes.
Here is one of my favorites. Know what his name is? Is this St. Ignatius?
No.
You sure? You sure? Okay, it's St. John Bosco.
Oh.
So St. John Bosco was pretty, he was kind of a lazy guy, you think?
No.
Barely ever find anyone in the history of the church that worked harder than John Bosco. Talking to Father Larry the other day, and he said, after the Curia Varus, he's probably the saint that confessed most. Mm. You probably read his life, he'd be out in the fields there, and the boys are putting his head on his shoulder. He'd be hearing, you know, hours and hours of confession for the young people. Say, you know, go frequently, no? Mm. But, you know, one of his greatest sufferings was the summer he had to send them home to their where they lived, no? And most of them, well, they lived in the oratory, but they had to go back to some type of residence. in the summer months. And he really feared that. Why? Because they had 10 weeks of freedom. How is a 15-year-old boy going to use 10 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now today, let's apply this to today. Are teenagers tempted?
Yes.
Give a teenager that's bored, sad, depressed, maybe angry, give him an afternoon alone with the internet, the cell phone, the tablet, or TV. What is he going to do? Obviously, he's going to get into pornography, right? No brainer. Hello?
Yes.
Of course. Don't fake ignorance. You know that. No brainer. If he does it day after day after day after day after day. Do you know what a virtue is? It's called a good habit. No devices? It's called a bad habit. How do you form a habit? By the repetition of the same actions,
right,
huh?
Right.
Repetition of the same action, you form a habit, be it good or bad.
Right.
Bad vice, good virtue. After he's done this, you know, every day for 2 or 3 months, he's going to be a slave of that for the next 60 years.
I worry about him.
The experts say that the addiction to pornography is much more addicting than cocaine.
Wow.
Than cocaine. And behind that is the devil.
Right.
So he's in a profound desolation, this kid. He doesn't even know what desolation is. He's got a lot of free time. So as to medicate himself, so as to soothe the pain, he seeks recourse to a false pleasure, a false god, and that's the internet. And the internet, he's going to be seeking out bad images or bad movies, bad videos. That is called pornography. Then he doesn't want to go to church anymore. And the reason behind it is because his addiction to pornography. He doesn't want to give it up. If he goes to confession, what's the priest going to tell him? Got to give it up? I don't want to give it up. I can't go to communion. I don't go to communion. My mom is going to say, why you don't go to communion? So he just backs out of the church and he starts to hate the church. That's the long-term dynamic. And behind it is the devil. The devil is behind that. The devil is behind that. The devil is working, my friends, overtime today. When St. Bonaventure says, when a person is working very hard, there's one devil. When the person has nothing to do, a whole army of devils descends upon that person. How many young people are surrounded by an army of devils? Because they got nothing to do, and they're bored, and they're in their state of desolation. So, Mary's going to continue to talk, because once again, I have a funeral. When someone dies, the priest has to do the funeral, and I'm the one that has to do it. So, God bless you. Mary has other very, very important meditations. 3 classes of men, 3 grades of humility, plan of life. This is one of the most important weeks in the exercise. Please pay attention and try to put in practice these meditations. These are not theory, but meant to put into practice. Okay? And I'll pray that all of you really be able to understand these exercises, live them to the full, and not live mediocre lives, but live holy lives, because all of you are called to become great saints. Amen. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah.